in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Welcome to this special edition of the Off-Panel Podcast, the comic book show where the tensions are high and the ink is fresh. Joining me is actually only one co-host this week, Matt Johnson.
Yes, I am here.
And I present. Am your co-host, Alex Campbell.
Yes.
And we're riding shotgun this week. We don't have any other co-host with us. No. Well, how was it you said?
I said we have no wetbacks, no Scotsmen, or no bitches to hold us down. It is episode guided by two white men with tiny dicks, the same people who founded and made America the most glorious nation in the world.
That's right. We're American.
America, fuck yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, we actually recorded an episode earlier this evening. This is Friday. And,
it's Saturday now. Oh.
Yeah, it's this is being recorded at 12:30 at night. Well, 12:30 in the morning.
No, close
12:30 somewhere.
Don't split hairs. Jesus.
But what happened was we recorded an episode with me, John, and Sergio, and Skype decided that it was going to, you know,
be a bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it corrupted the file. It was a bunch of static when we were talking. And apparently it's quite a frequent issue. Like, it just happens every so often. So it was an understandable issue, but at the same time it was frustrating and we lost an entire hour. So we're going to try again, except this time we're going to try with less people.
Yes, less people.
But
less people, but hopefully just as much fun, if not more so.
Hopefully some sort of fun will get into it. So,
either that or it's just going to be depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really sad. But, yeah, so I guess we should start. How was your week?
My week, I had a pretty good week. I sent out a couple of death threats, mailed a few pipe bombs. Pretty much what I normally do.
Yeah, pretty standard fare for you.
Yeah, I didn't meet my cross burning quota. That's the only problem.
Oh, see, now that bothers me, you know, because when you can't do a cross burning quota, like,
yeah, I know. You've just, I mean, what's the point anymore?
I know.
That's why I told the Grand Dragon. I mean, what's the point of us putting quotas on cross burning? You're turning us into a business, man. You should be cool.
And as he was beating minorities with chains, he turned to you and he agreed with you.
Yes. He was like, have you seen Office Space?
And you two proceeded to have a nice little conversation, and several people died that night.
Yeah, he stops whipping the minority. He's like, yeah, I'm going to need you to burn a cross on Saturday if you can.
Yeah, but then you weren't able to.
No, I called in sick. But see, that's the thing, though. People talk about, like, you know, people talk about white supremacists badmouthers, but really we have the best healthcare program, like, in the country.
It's always a bonus, you know.
That's what our tagline is. You know, come for the hate, stay for the dental.
You all have excellent teeth.
which is actually, you know, we're trying to fight against stereotypes. I guess that's kind of ironic, but anyway, that aside,
highly ironic.
Yes. How was your week?
My week was pretty, you know, pretty much standard fare too. I went to the doctor on Tuesday, get more meds.
Did he give you a colonoscopy?
It was a she.
Oh, did she get? Ooh, yeah. Did she give you a colonoscopy? Or did you give her one?
No. That didn't happen, unfortunately. She found me too repulsive and disgusting and sent me out immediately.
So, yeah, like every other woman.
Yeah, I was used to it, you know. I just kind of shrugged and left.
There's one thing, though, we haven't mentioned about the week. We actually record an episode of our own podcast, the spinoff podcast, if you will. That's something we haven't. Have you plugged it yet on OPP?
I actually did on the episode that was deleted.
Okay, cool. Well, we're replugging it again, bitch.
Yeah, we recorded a separate podcast, The Dork Knights, the podcast that the internet deserves, but not the one it needs, or asked for, or wanted, but it's getting anyway.
Yeah, Dork Knights, of course, is something that you and I do
mm-hmm.
when we're not role-playing as sheep with each other.
Yeah, well, I'm the goat and you're the sheep, really.
Well, that's not fair, because, I mean, I've always been under the impression that, like, a goat would be a dude. So I always thought I was the dude in our messed up little relationship.
What does that make me?
The woman, of course. Hello. If you're not the dude, what are you?
I just figured we were both dudes.
No, that's gay.
Is there something wrong with that?
Well, according to the Bible, there is, but, you know.
We're getting really off topic here.
Yeah, I know. Well, isn't this about comics or something?
Yeah, I something or other. I don't know. But yeah, we do another podcast. So that's where you might have heard us. Heard this.
Probably not.
This,
probably not. You probably haven't heard that podcast.
Yeah,
we don't
but,
even listen
to
it.
Yeah, to be fair, we probably haven't heard either of our voices either, because we barely talk on this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. It's filled with horrible Scottish accents and horrible Mexican accents.
One thing did change about this week, though, and you...
You got a haircut?
No, I need one, actually.
You finally managed to make it with a woman?
No. What would make you think that?
I don't know. Extra spring in your step?
No, at all.
The absent of fear in the eyes of your goats?
Yeah, that's never going to go away. No, what happened was that after many long weeks of trying to get it up there, no pun intended, it wasn't really a pun, actually.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Where was the pun?
Yeah, there was no pun.
That expression only works when you say a pun. You know, no pun intended. See, that doesn't work.
I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway.
Back to your point.
Back to my point was that this podcast is officially on iTunes. So you can now...
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, exactly. It's cause for celebration. You can now...
Celebration.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Woo-woo.
We're on iTunes, and you can subscribe to us by going into iTunes and searching the Off-Panel Podcast. Or you can search our sister podcast, Dork Knights, which is also on iTunes.
Or
now.
What about your little third project, or the original project, I guess. It's your first project.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing we announced in the other episode, is that we're a part of the Pulp Podcast Network, which
Woo.
Is essentially a bunch of shows with me and you and
yes.
other people that are less important than you and me.
The one important link, I would say, that these three podcasts share, I guess, is you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So if this was like the Marvel Universe, you would be our Wolverine.
I'd be more like the Nick Fury.
I think Wolverine, because, you know, you're short, hairy, overrated, and you pop up everywhere.
Well, I mean, I'm not really short, but that's beside the
You're
point.
Not? Well, no, I'm not talking about height. I'm not talking about height.
I see.
Yes.
All right.
AKA the penis.
Yeah, I get you. You dick. No pun intended.
That's something that, there you go. Now you're using it right.
All right. But yeah, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and they will automatically download new episodes for you if you subscribe to us.
Yes.
So every week you'll get a new episode of OPP, or Dork Knights, or Pulp Nightmare, which is also another podcast
so
that I do.
Pretty much, iTunes will be raping your computer.
Pretty much.
Whether you want it or not, you're getting it.
Yeah, and often you'll be screaming and kicking.
Steve Jobs, or the ghost of Steve Jobs, doesn't take no for an answer.
No, he doesn't.
Rape instead of like brains or something.
Yeah. He loves them, the ladies. Okay.
And the men.
Well,
but anyway,
I mean, that goes without saying. But anyway, I suppose we should get into the actual topic at hand with this,
the real,
you know, this podcast.
Yeah, the real thing that we're in.
Let's just get into the topic at hand on this podcast, you know, this comic book podcast. Where we've been talking about the ghost of Steve Jobs and me getting a haircut and you you know, not being,
being a racist,
quote, not being on your quota of cross rings. Let's actually get down to the nitty gritty and get some comments.
Yeah, we can focus on all this on Dork Nights.
Yeah.
So listen into that for all the hilarious hijinks of two desperate men.
Yeah, stop listening to this and listen to that.
Yeah, we'll wait. I mean, it'll take about 4 hours to listen to it all. We'll just sit here for 4 hours, and you can come back and
I mean, we've really got nothing to do.
Yeah, so just press pause if you want to.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
Are you back?
Yeah. All right. See, what did we say? It was funny, wasn't it? Did you like the stuff about Stalin and Hitler? That was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, one of my personal favorites was when we got into the discussion about you know, stealing all your family's wealth and stuff. But
yes,
anyway,
with my glasses. Yes. All right. Yes. Back to comics.
Yeah. Comic books. What comic books did you read this week?
I read a fair amount of comic books. I'm trying to think. This was interesting. You know, I've been more of a DC guy over the years, but this week I read more Marvel and independent books than I did DC. I don't know why. Maybe it's just I wasn't too interested in the DC books that came out this week.
Well, to be fair, I mean, it is a good thing to get into Marvel, because we do talk about DC a lot on this show.
Yeah. And something else that I found funny is I was thinking about some of my favorite books from the week, and my three favorite books all come from the same writer, Jason Aaron. He wrote this week three of his books, Punisher Max, Scout, and Wolverine and X-Men. And like I said, all three of those were my favorites from this week.
And Wolverine and the X-Men has been one of a... How many are X-Men titles are there?
I think there's about 1,600.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
There's Wolverine and the X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, X-Force, Uncanny X-Force, Wolverine and the X-Men get a part-time job with the Salvation Army. The Uncanny X-Men get the clap.
Rogue goes Hawaiian.
Goes Hawaiian.
Which is just weird.
Yeah, Emma Frost does Dallas.
Yeah.
Professor Xavier runs a marathon.
which is really, you know, it's really an ambitious title, I would say.
Yeah, I give it about 100 issues before it runs out of steam.
Yeah. But, okay, so you said three of your favorite comics were from Jason Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
What other things did you read before we get into those?
I read Suicide Squad this week. I think it's Suicide Squad number 5. I don't know. I can't remember. The Suicide Squad. I read The Authority number 2. It took me a while to read that one, but I managed to find it. Jeez, I'm trying to remember what else. I read a lot more, but those are really the only ones coming back to me right now. So, but I read books. That's the important part.
Yeah, that is true. And I read a couple books as well. I read about 9 books. A bit overkill, but you know, there's a lot that came out this week. So, what you gonna do?
Not read. You could always do that.
Yeah, I could, but I'm a little bit of a whore.
A little bit, yes, just a little bit.
Yeah. So, which one do you want to talk about first?
Do you want to? Did you read any of the ones that I read?
I did not.
Okay. Well, the hell with you. I guess I'll talk about like Scout and Punisher Max, kind of because.
Oh, I did read Punisher Max.
You did, one of the things that I'm pretty sure John covered the hell out of Scout in the original podcast, the Lost podcast. But one of the things I liked about both Scout and Punisher Max is that pretty much for the most of the issues, there was just this big fight with Punisher Max. You know, it was the showdown between Frank Castle and Kingpin, something that had been building pretty much from the first issue. And it was pretty brutal, and it was pretty satisfying. It was the end of, like, I guess you'd say the penultimate issue to Jason Aaron's run, and I've enjoyed it so far, and I'm hoping the last issue can be just as good as all the previous ones. And there was another epic fight too as well in Scout, where it was another fight that had been building up for quite some time between these two guys. And although, to give Scout more credit, it had been building up for about 50 some odd issues, whereas and the Punisher had only been going like 19, maybe 17 issues, I can't remember. But both of them were brutal, both of them were nasty, and both issues ended on a pretty good cliffhanger. And I'm really looking forward to next month, especially with Scout, because Scout's getting right towards the end of that 60-issue run. And so that one's got me more excited than Punisher.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned those two, because John was actually pretty adamant about him liking both of those titles.
Yeah.
Particularly Punisher Max, which surprised me, because he's always been a very pro Scout guy, but he actually said that the fight in Punisher Max is actually more brutal than
I would say so.
Like at one point, like someone losing a body part. Like it's pretty,
I think so.
Yeah, it's pretty horrific, actually, but it's so fitting to the Punisher. Yeah. And
especially in the in the Max universe, or yeah, Max whatever it's supposed to be. I can't remember if it's part of the Marvel universe or if it's like
it's not. He actually clarified that for me. Because I actually thought like this was actually in continuity, so I said this would be like one of the most ballsiest books ever.
Yeah. See, because like if you ever read like Garth Ennis's run, like really there are no superheroes in it. Like Nick Fury and Microchip, those are like the only two mainstream Marvel 616 guys that show up in the Max universe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because most time in Punisher Max he's fighting guys like gangbangers and Russian slavers, and he's not going up against the Green Goblin and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess for this Jason Aaron, he introduced Kingpin, Elektra, Bullseye, but he made them more down to earth, I'd say. And especially like Bullseye.
That's an interesting premise, actually. What do you think DC would like benefit from a DC Max type line? You could have like their big superheroes, but sort of in a grittier, almost
maybe with some of them.
Yeah.
Like the Max works perfect for Punisher. That's really the only Marvel character I can see like the Max line working for. Maybe I think Bendis did one with Luke Cage or Jessica Jones. I think that was a Max series.
Yeah,
I can't remember, but
you really think like it's better for the Punisher?
Yeah, it's better for the Punisher by himself. But the only real Marvel DC character I can see them doing that with would be probably Batman. I know that'd probably sell real well, like a Batman book like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, Batman, taking ballet would probably sell in the top 10 just as well.
Probably.
It's Batman,
Yeah.
What's that character? Vigilante. He's sort of like DC's Punisher. Maybe he could.
Hmm. Actually a Deathstroke title under like a mask.
Deathstroke. Yeah, Deathstroke or Deadshot or Suicide Squad. Some of those would be, I think.
There are some pretty dark characters in the DC universe that would, even like Green Arrow Max.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no more trick arrows. I guess he'd be using all the pointy ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or he could, or since it's Max, he could have like sexually suggestive arrows, like a dildo arrow.
and then when he shoots it into some guy's butt, he says, "Justice."
Justice.
All right. Well, so you read Punisher Max and you liked it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you said Scout was amazing.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I guess I should talk about my pick of the week.
Yeah, go ahead. Listen.
Demon Knights, mm-hmm. I think it was number 5.
Yeah,
you didn't read this one, did you?
See, I need to catch up on Demon Knights. I think the last one I read was number 3. I think that was the one. Was that the one where Vandal Savage beat a dragon to death with another dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the last one I read. I just kind of forgot about it. I was enjoying the series, and I just slipped my mind, I think, when it came out last month and this month, but well, I do want to get caught up.
Yeah, well, this issue is pretty interesting because it's the focus is on all the individual characters, like their motivations for being in the town that they're all stuck in. And they also show Mordru and Morgana Le Fay, which are the two villains of the series. And they show them sort of kind of trying to turn each member against each other, and they all kind of refuse in like their own way. Except for one, and it's pretty interesting because a character that was good in the series sort of takes a turn and suddenly becomes evil. And you kind of expect it, but you kind of don't expect it at the same time. It's kind of strange to explain, but the art is great. Paul Cornell's writing is fantastic, and it's still one of my favorite of the relaunch titles. And you got Etrigan given some, you know, demony goodness.
Does he still rhyme? I remember he was rhyming some in the first three issues I read.
He didn't really rhyme in this issue, no.
Oh, really? I always like, he's sort of like the demon rapper of the DC universe.
Yeah, he throws down with a Fitty and Eminem.
Busting mad moves while I burn off your scalp. Word.
Word to your mother. And I also read Batman and Robin, which is by Pete Tomasi.
Another one I need to catch up on.
Yeah. And this one, you actually get into the backstory of the villain. Again, you get into the backstory of the villain.
Yeah.
Except this one is pretty interesting because it parallels sort of the relationship of Batman and Robin, because it was revealed in like the second issue that the villain is the son of David Kane, which was one of the guys that trained Bruce Wayne. And you kind of see his origin, the origin of his son and his relationship with his father. You see sort of Bruce starting to doubt his own fathership because of that. And it's a really good title. At first I wasn't the biggest fan of it because it wasn't written that well, but as it went along, like it's sort of found its own voice, and I can respect that.
What's the bad guy's name in that one?
Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah, I think it was issue one or two when they showed, like, there was one scene I remember. I want to say Bruce was in civilian clothing, and he come up to him, Nobody, and they had, like, a brief exchange, and that kind of, you know, kept me interested because, obviously, these folks knew each other some time ago, and it's good to see that they at least got to the backstory. One thing I too also want to talk about, you know, my other book I like this week, Wolverine and the X-Men, number 4, and I believe you have not read any of those, have you? Any
no,
of the
I
Wolverine
haven't.
The X-Men's?
I haven't, unfortunately.
Or the X-Men. Why not?
I don't really like the artist, to be honest. Like, I just can't get into it because of the art.
Well, this issue they had a fill-in artist, and the fill-in artist was better. But, like, the way they drew Wolverine was still kind of funky. Like, he kind of had, like, a... Like, you see how, like, with people, like, Down syndrome kind of have, like, squishy faces?
Yeah.
That's how he kind of drew Wolverine.
Well...
But...
Yeah, I might pick it up.
One of the things, too, that is cool about, you know, I mentioned Scalped and Punisher Max, because those are, you know, these grim, gritty books. And then it's just amazing that, like, you know, all that stuff, and then Jason Aaron changes gears, and Wolverine and X-Men, you know, it's the exact opposite. It's really fun and lighthearted, because it's cool to see the X-Men not moping about, because they've been doing that, like, the past, what, 20-some-odd years at least?
Yeah.
Ever since about Dark Phoenix, they've been...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, everyone dies around you. Get over it.
Yeah. But there was a little seriousness in this issue because there was one cool part where they flashed forward. They showed, like, some of the X-Men of the future, and they were all students, current students at the school, and they were all adults now on the X-Men team, and I thought that was a cool little thing. And one thing, too, I guess I just had to pick up on my own. This issue kind of tied into the events of, I want to say it was Uncanny X-Force, or one of the X-Force books. It kind of wrapped up some of the events that happened in that, because I think Wolverine leads one of the teams.
Yeah.
And you didn't really have to know that much about what was going on in Uncanny X-Force to get what was going on. It would have helped me if I was keeping up with it. But it was still, that aside, it was still, you know, pretty good. And like I said, just a nice new take on the X-Men. I kind of compare it a little bit to like what Mark Waid's doing with Daredevil.
Yeah. Yeah, because Mark Waid's going out of his way to sort of... You almost needed to take a cold shower every time you read, like, Daredevil beforehand. And Mark Waid kind of put the focus back on the fun of the character. And sort of the humor of Matt Murdock and all that. So it's a good... Yeah. I welcome that sort of stuff.
One thing, too, is... you know, we've talked about this before on here, about how for the past 20-some-odd years, Daredevil's been like that. Just for the past 20 years, Daredevil's been just down and dirty and gritty and stuff. And I think one of the problems was always, like, the writers. They always, every writer, when they ended their run, they always tried to write Daredevil into a corner. Like, when Bendis got done with his run, he had Daredevil outed and put in jail. And then when Brubaker got done with his run, Daredevil took over the Hand. I mean, that was cool. It had potential, but that potential got squandered, and, you know, the change in tone, I think, was badly needed.
Yeah, I agree. Like, honestly, like, I liked the idea of Shadowland. It was just really, it turned out
poorly
really
executed.
Bad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because I remember when Shadowland was announced, you and I were both excited.
I was pretty pumped just when all the stuff with Daredevil taking over the Hand. I thought that was going to be, they had so much potential.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think he's definitely more of a, he's, well, before Waid took over, he was definitely more of an unstable character.
Yeah.
And people kind of ignored that, so it was neat to kind of see him put to the test by, you know, being placed in front of this group that could allow him to sort of expand his insanity, almost, you could say.
And then, for some reason, some weird demon possessed him, so...
Yeah.
I don't still know how that works, but...
Mm-hmm.
Retcon, don't worry. It'll be gone in a couple of years.
Yeah. So, anyway, another book that I read this week was... Batwoman by J.H. Williams and W. Hayden Blackman. And it's interesting because this is sort of a wrap-up of the first arc, but it kind of isn't in a weird way. It's hard to explain, but they set up a new status quo for the character of Batwoman that's pretty interesting. They sort of give her an ultimatum, which is to say that from here on out, Batwoman's probably not going to be the same as it used to be. But I don't know. It still worked. It still was pretty good. It actually felt like a finale rather than sort of a, you know, we're going to get to the next issue and all that. So it was like it would fit easily in a trade. What were you going to say?
I read the first three issues of that. I think three, maybe two. I kind of lost interest in it. The art was good, but the story just wasn't doing that much for me. But anyway, was the stuff involving... I remember there was a federal agent or something.
Yeah, Cameron Chase.
Chasing after Batwoman. Yeah, Chase, that's what was her name. Because she was a fed. I think she had her own old series like back in the late 90s, I think.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she was actually hunting down Batman, I think. And then...
In the other series. Okay.
But
I guess not to get too many spoilers, does that twist have something to do with her?
Yeah, it does. But
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's actually done in a way that I wouldn't have expected if you told me that that's what happens. So
let me guess, they trade identities.
No.
Kate Kane is Cameron Chase. They pull a Fight Club.
She used Jack's swollen hubris.
The first rule of Project Mayhem, Miss Kane, is you do not mention Project Mayhem.
Yeah. And then the question bursts in, and it's weird.
Yeah, actually, Renee Montoya is Vic Sage. She just puts on a strap-on.
I like it. I like it. That would actually make me want to read a question book now. And what else did you read?
I read Suicide Squad, and it was pretty interesting. The book's gotten better than what it was like the first few issues.
Yeah, the first few issues just they weren't interesting at all to me.
Go with your complaint.
Honestly, whatever's been said has already been said. It's like, yeah. It just no characters on the team really interest me besides Deadshot and Harley, and even Harley's not really Harley. It's like,
that's what I was gonna say. Is like, the series has been decent, but okay, so far passable. But there really hasn't been much, like, really in the way of character development. Hmm. That was one of the things that I liked about the Suicide Squad from the late '80s. These guys, when someone died, you kind of felt for them because, you know, it helps to develop character because when someone dies, it just makes it that much, heartfelt, I guess. But like, in this issue, someone else dies. Like, pretty much, I think every issue just about they've killed off a team member, but you really don't give a damn. Because the guy they kill off is someone I've never heard of. I don't know anything about him. And he just dies. His death comes kind of way out of left field. And so, I don't know. Maybe just if they could work on that, I think it'd be a better book,
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think next month should be a little bit better because they have to. It involves. I think they're going to do some more backstory with Harley and what's going on with her.
Yeah. Supposed to do a new origin with her.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be decent, but I've been wrong before.
So, I don't know what else I should mention. I read Green Lantern, and I really like Sinestro in the book. They're setting up the Guardians to be sort of the villains.
What a shock.
And you know what? Honestly, I like the idea of that because for too long, the Guardians have been kind of they've been kind of the dicks of the universe.
Yeah.
Like they scold unnecessarily the Green Lantern Corps, and then they go about their merry way their unmerry way, rather, and just they don't really learn from their mistakes. And it seems like John's just kind of sitting out their downfall, which I really like because it's been a long time coming, like I said.
Yeah, and you would think that, all the shit with Black as Night would say, hey, maybe we're fallible,
Yeah, but
I guess not.
They're pricks.
Little blue motherfuckers.
Yeah, but, and also we get some neat little moments with Kurgar and the Sinestro Corps, and it's interesting because I almost, someone said on the other episode was that you almost start to like Sinestro so much as a Green Lantern that you don't want him to become a villain again. Because he almost brings a little bit of he almost brings something new to the Green Lantern mythos, just as a reformed Green Lantern trying to not really reformed, he doesn't like anyone, but just sort of someone who isn't who isn't like Hal Jordan, basically.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, because maybe I think what it probably is like, they could have kind of done the same thing with Hal Jordan, but all the stuff with, like, them blaming everything on Parallax kind of threw it out the window. So, like, he's like, no, I wasn't a bad guy. It was Parallax. Whereas with Sinestro, he's like, yeah, I was a dick. Want to fight about it?
Yeah, I mean, when you put it in those terms, it actually kind of sounds like John's is trying to make up for that with Sinestro.
Maybe so.
Which is kind of a neat idea,
One thing I wanted to ask, who's leading Sinestro Corps with Sinestro gone?
There's no one really leading. They're all just kind of acting. It's a bunch of egos coming together, which is
anarchy.
Yeah, anarchy. Cool. Which kind of leads to their downfall in this issue, which is neat. You also see what happens to Hal Jordan and Carol Ferris, and all that stuff. So it was a pretty good issue. I'm glad I read it. And then one more that I want to mention is Scarlet Spider number one.
Oh yeah,
which is it's not Ben Reilly, it's Kane,
the wrestler.
Yeah, the wrestler. Fire and Brimstone, it's Kane.
He's 8 foot tall Spider-Man. He's choke slamming Dr. Octopus. My God.
and then Black Cat comes in. Puppies.
Yeah, and then like she's got a metal chair behind her back.
She's oh no, and down goes Spider Kane with a DDT.
She jumps up on the ropes and she just does like a flying heel click turn, whatever the hell they're called. I can't remember. And she just hits him in the face.
Yeah. But yeah, it was with the other clone, the crazy clone of Peter Parker.
Doesn't he have like half a face or something?
Well, he used to, but now he's got a better face and everything.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah, pretty much. But he's kind of on the path of redemption. It was a decent book. There was one good part of it, which is Kane leaps down and he saves. He does what appears to be a save of an elderly woman from being run over by a car. But when he turns around, he starts accosting the woman and starts cursing her out and saying how she's dumb and slow and then just swings away and it's pretty awesome.
Nice. He's pretty much like if a superhero were an internet troll, it'd be Kane.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like why you know organic webs, Mark Webb, or something like that.
Bitch, walk faster.
Pretty much.
I
was gonna say it's like the you if you were Spider-Man.
I saved you this time, but fuck you and the horse you rode in on, and he swings away.
Yeah, pretty much.
That actually is something that's kind of interesting if you think about it, like especially like in Marvel and the DC universes where there are these superheroes all over the place, and they save everybody on a regular basis. And you know, you kind of get tired of it, I would think, after a while. Like you know, you've had a bad day. Green Goblin just killed your sixth girlfriend in a row, and this dumb asshole doesn't have the good sense to watch where he's going, and you have to save him from running into somebody. I mean, it would piss you off.
Yeah. Well, you know, that and Kane's, you know, slightly crazy, so that always helps.
I think Kane's probably actually the only sane one.
you're starting to like him, aren't you?
Yeah, I might have to check this out.
But yeah, he decides to become the new Scarlet Spider, and hijinks are to be had. He actually has a couple of different powers too, like he has night vision, which is more spider like. He has a new costume and everything, so it's. I mean, I'll check out the second issue. So.
Right on.
So we've talked this week's comics. We've talked shows.
Yes. We've shot shit.
Yeah, so we should probably move on to a topic that interested both you and I.
Sir.
They're doing a crossover event called The Omega Effect with Spider-Man, The Punisher, and Daredevil, which is basically it's Mark Waid and Greg Rucka handling it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be one issue of Amazing, one issue of Daredevil, and one issue of Punisher. I think Rucka and Wade are going to be co-writing the Amazing issue, and they'll each handle their respective titles with the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is how it's supposed to work.
And so, I mean, how do you feel about that?
I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, because one thing that I think maybe it's a little surprising is they're going to do this crossover, I think, in April. And they're just right now this month, Amazing and Daredevil are crossing over, you know.
Yeah,
first issue was this week. That's something else I think we both read and we both enjoyed it was this week's Mason, which is the first part of the Daredevil crossover.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it was written by Wade.
Yeah, written by Wade. Like I said, I guess I'm a little surprised that it's coming this quickly, just another crossover between Daredevil and Spider-Man, but I guess throwing Punisher into it works.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to it, too. You know, Wade and Rucka, like, what more can you ask for?
They've both been knocking out of the park.
Yeah.
So far.
I mean, you know, this could be the one thing that trips him up, but who knows. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So I guess that leads into another question I have, is that do you find yourself with creator allegiance? What I mean is that, do you buy books based solely off of who is writing or who is drawing them? Or do you tend to go for characters more, or what's your take on that?
Huh. You know, this question kind of come at me kind of out of left field, you know, because this is actually the first time I'm hearing of this question at all. I didn't see this a few days in advance, or neither did I write it and pose the question to other people.
Yeah, I know. I just came up with it off the top of my head.
Yeah,
you know?
This is on the fly. I commend you, sir, for being
crafty. I figured I'd throw you a curveball.
Yeah, well, curveball has been thrown. Good, sir. I will say that. But I would, to get back to your question, I would say kind of, just a little bit, because like we were talking about, Punisher Max. And one of the main reasons why I kind of got into Punisher Max was because, I heard Jason Aaron was doing it, and I've enjoyed Scout and the first few issues of Wolverine the X-Men that he'd done. And so I got it, and I started reading it, and I started liking it. And I'm open to new ideas, but most time if I know the story's good, or if people say it's good, like word of mouth and stuff, I'll give it a shot. But I'm fairly open to new things. Like, I won't just try it on blind faith a lot of times. Like I said, I tried Punisher Max. Jason Aaron was a big influence in that, but it wasn't everything. You know, I'd heard good things from John, so with the fact that he was writing it on top of John's recommendation, I gave it a whirl.
Yeah. And what about characters? Do you have certain characters that you'll follow? Like, I mean, everyone likes Batman.
Uh-huh. Well, not everybody. There's some people who don't like him. But certain characters, like, we were talking about Suicide Squad earlier, and I think one of the reasons why I'm staying with the book as long as I am, it has nothing to do with the writing or the art, it's just that I'm just a big fan of the Suicide Squad, and like I told you the other day, I'm hanging on hoping that it'll get better.
Yeah.
So, maybe it'll get better, but there's that, and there's really no character like I don't like, you know. There's some I'm not really interested in, but there's only a few characters that I absolutely hate, so most of them probably won't be getting any ongoing, so I don't think that's really too much of a problem.
And this is just mostly for me, but what characters do you hate?
I hate Gambit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I hate, but I really don't care too much for Cable.
Okay.
Who else? There's probably some DC characters that I don't like that much, but I just can't really think. Like Deadpool, I kind of dislike Deadpool, but that's mostly because people try too hard with Deadpool to be funny and stuff.
Yeah,
and it comes off, and especially like over the last few years, a couple years ago when Marvel was throwing him in every book, it kind of got very redundant, and kind of got burnt out on him.
Yeah. Well, it's
what about you?
It's interesting you say that, because I don't know. It's like I tend to follow more characters than I do creators. Like, uh-huh. I will read like a Superman book or a Wonder Woman book or a Green Lantern book. Well, maybe not Wonder Woman, because I only recently got into a title with her. But I don't know. I try to give character books more of a chance, and then if that doesn't work out, I drop them. But as far as a creator, I really like Scott Snyder. Like, I think he's one of my favorite writers of the last 5 years. But I just only recently got into American Vampire after dragging my feet with that.
Yeah, you need to hurry the hell up.
Yeah, and also Jason Aaron. I love Jason Aaron, but I haven't got into Scalped that much.
Boo!
Yeah, I know.
John and I will castrate you.
Yeah, I know. And also Severed, which is another Scott Snyder book.
That's something I want to read, but I haven't got around to reading it either, so John will castrate me.
Yeah. He'll be the only one not castrated.
Actually, Sergio's already castrated, so...
Actually, John already castrated himself in a fit of homicidal rage.
So. I think it was that week he didn't pick up any comics. I'm not reading Scott Snyder clip.
I don't know. I don't know. As far as creator allegiance, there are writers I love. I will pick up certain books mostly out of curiosity for how a writer or an artist will do on it, but it has to be a character that interests me, I think. Which is something Sergio also said when we were recording.
Yeah. What about the other side of the coin? Are there some books that you won't pick up just because you don't like the writer or the artist, even though it is a character you might be interested in, just due to the fact that, you know, that writer is writing it?
Yeah, there are a couple of those. Like I said, I'm a huge Batman nerd, but I won't read anything that's drawn by Kelly Jones, which is that artist that draws Batman with the insanely huge ears and the weird muscles.
Yeah,
Didn't he do the
Vampire Batman one?
Yeah, and actually, I like that one because it fit the story, like his exaggerated style. Mm-hmm. But anytime he did a miniseries with Steve Niles, who wrote 30 Days of Night, and I was actually interested in that, except for who was drawing it, and as a result, I didn't pick it up, because I couldn't get through it as far as the art goes. As far as writing, James Robinson. I didn't read JLA when he was writing it, because he wrote Cry for Justice, and I couldn't. Like, I have that stigma against him. I want to read the new JLA series that's coming out from DC.
JSA.
I thought I said JSA.
You said JLA.
Okay, JSA series.
There you go, get it right.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been hearing great things about his current run on The Shade, but
yeah.
I just can't get into it.
I understand what you're saying, because I feel the same way about the JSA series, and especially, I've heard a lot of good things about he had a run in the 90s on Starman that was supposed to be very, very epic and legendary, but just seeing what he is now, I think maybe that's kind of unfair, because, you and I have talked about, Jeff Loeb. That's sort of like us not wanting to read The Long Halloween based on, Ultimatum?
Yeah.
You know, how crappy Ultimatum was. You know, I don't think, maybe that's necessarily fair.
I know it's not fair. It's just it's something I can't really get over.
Yeah,
it's like I wish I could. Though that's the thing.
There's another, I guess, writer artist I really don't want to even try because his name is synonymous with crap. And that is Rob Liefeld.
Liefeld. It's interesting that you mentioned that.
Yeah,
actually.
I know, isn't it? That's a pretty interesting segue.
Yeah, I know.
Come up with out of the blue.
Yeah, it's almost like you were leading into something.
Yeah, it's almost like this was pre-planned in advance.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. We're not like that.
No, not at all.
Or are we?
So continue with your story.
Like I was saying, he's one of the ones I've never tried anything out on him just because of the notoriety, but behind his crappy drawing and crappy writing, and Hawk and Dove, you know, he was
writing. I think he's partially writing and drawing Hawk and Dove when it come out. And I didn't, even though Hawk and Dove, I'm kind of interested in them, not really. I probably would have tried it, but I didn't, just based on the fact that he was doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the ones that got canceled.
Yeah, it was one of the ones. We should probably explain is that DC just announced a second wave of the New 52, which is gonna. Which is basically six new titles that's just gonna replace six canceled ones. And the canceled ones.
Yeah. You got the list. Okay.
Well, I don't have the full list, so keep looking it up. But I'm gonna say as many as I can remember.
Okay.
I know that Hawk and Dove has been canceled. Men of War. Blackhawks, Mr. Terrific, Static Shock, and there's one more. OMAC is another one.
Yeah, OMAC. Yeah, I think Sergio was kind of.
Yeah,
I seen the other day. He's down by that.
Yeah, he was pretty broken up by it, but there really didn't seem to be that much backlash against these titles getting canceled because nobody was really. It didn't seem like there was a huge fan base for any of them.
Yeah. Which ones all did you mention?
Men of War.
I'm looking at the list right now.
Black
Hawk and Dove, Black Hawks.
Yeah.
Mr. Trick, OMAC, and Sex. Yep, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Boom. I'd say of those six books, the only one I was reading was Men of War. And I guess that's kind of maybe, I mean, I'm not really bummed out. I was interested in Men of War. I was enjoying reading it, but I knew pretty much from the get-go it wasn't going to last long just based on the genre.
Well, it's interesting because one of the titles that is replacing it is called G.I. Combat, which is an anthology series about war and espionage and all that stuff. For like pretty much down your alley.
Yeah, and it probably won't last six issues just as well, I think, anyway. But I think that's something that, what's his name, Dan Didio said. When they launched, the New 52, they wanted to have a certain amount of, like, Western and war books along with the regular superhero stuff just to give some more variety. And although it doesn't seem like no one's picking it up, it's good to at least have that option, I guess.
Yeah, it's good that they're giving them a chance, at least.
Yeah. You want to announce the six that are...
Okay, like we said, G.I. Combat, which is being written by J.T. Kroll, who wrote Green Arrow and I think he's
Captain
still writing. Yeah, he's still writing Captain Atom.
Yeah.
There's also Batman Incorporated, the return of that, which is basically going to be the last act of Grant Morrison's Batman saga. Which, fair enough.
Batman from around the world.
Yeah, doing crazy LSD-type missions. Then there's also going to be Dial H, which is a take on sort of a Bronze Age. Did you read the Brave and the Bold by JMS?
I wanted to read it, but I never had a chance. That's something I meant to look it up today when I seen about Dial H. I wanted to see exactly what it's about.
Well, it's essentially about someone who can assume a certain like superhuman guise, like with with the help of this, I don't know what you call it, sort of a dial type thing, and
like a rotary phone.
Yeah, pretty much, like one of those things, except that it's on its own and it grants you magical superpowers.
Mm.
And it's about like sort of each story I think was focused on like what are the consequences of these powers being given to random people.
Is it like the same powers every time?
Pretty much. Well, no, it's not. Because sometimes, you get like you get psychic powers or you get super strength and flight or something like that.
Okay. Cool.
So that's going to be out. It's by, I don't know.
I'm looking at it right now. China Mevil? Mevil?
Sure.
I guess, whatever. And the artist, Mattias Stantoluko. I butcher that name, I'm pretty sure, but he should change his name to John Smith.
As everyone with those kind of
speak American, damn it.
Yeah.
I put in the the thing right here. Hold on. See what you can. Mateus Santaluoco.
Mateus Santaluoco.
Yeah, so I was close. So.
Yeah,
screw
so.
You. Stannis or Sandus, whatever. And let's see the other. I'm looking at the other ones as well. Let's see. There's you said Ink.
The Justice Society.
GI Combat. Yeah, Earth 2 is called Earth 2 apparently.
Yeah, Earth 2, which is basically the Justice Society, is going to be by James Robinson and drawn by Nicholas Scott.
Yeah, they're going to be on alternate Earth. They'll be connected with mainstream DC universe.
There's also going to be a title called World's Finest, which isn't Batman and Superman. It's Power Girl and Huntress of Earth 2.
Ladies.
Exactly. Written by...
It's Ladies Night.
It's going to be written by Paul Levitz.
Paul Levitz.
And it's going to be alternating between George Perez and... Who else?
Kevin Maguire.
Okay. And is that everything?
There's also one more, The Ravagers. That's supposed to be
written
by Howard Mackey and Ian Churchill. Is that like Ravagers in Slade Wilson's daughter?
No, it's actually an original like thing.
Okay, cool. It says it's a spinoff from Teen Titans and Superboy.
Yeah. So. It's about superpower teens that the government wants to turn into supervillains, but they're on the run and something like that. I don't know. It's like I'm not really 100% interested in any of those, except maybe Batman Incorporated, just to get my daily dose of Grant Morrison craziness.
Yeah. Woo. I would probably say that I know at least I'll check out GI Combat, and I don't know, maybe Earth 2.
Yep.
I'm not sure yet. Maybe. I might at least try the first issue of Dial H. It sounds interesting. And what was that? Earth 2, maybe Earth 2. Just depends on, I mean, like I said, James Robinson.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be good.
I mean, I do kind of feel bad because I don't want to limit myself based solely off a writer that I don't like on a certain title.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's like saying Loeb. You don't want to read Long Halloween because of Ultimatum, but yeah, I don't know. That's in the maybe pile for me.
Yeah. And I guess one thing too that comes out of the news of the new books is apparently the guy we were talking about just a little bit ago, Rob Liefeld, is after Hawk and Dove got canceled. Apparently, he's getting promoted by DC. He's going to be an artist and a writer on three different books now.
Which halfway fulfills one of my New Year's predictions, which is Rob Liefeld will take over DC. So I was kind of right.
Yeah, and I believe that what it is why is Brian Michael Bendis wearing a Rob Liefeld mask?
Exactly.
That's what it is. He's killed him.
Yeah.
The art's so crappy. It's a writer drawing.
Yeah, sure. That's why it's so crappy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's taking over writing and art duties on Deathstroke. He's taking over co-plotting the Savage Hawk Man, which I mean I'm not so averse to because Tony S. Daniel was doing that.
So is him and Tony Daniel on Savage Hawk Man?
I'm not sure if Tony Daniel's going to stick around. I don't know.
Jesus, that's like the triumph.
The unholy duo.
Of like D-hacks together on one book. Maybe all the suckiness can be funneled into that one book.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Keep the fingers crossed.
And there's also, he's going to be co-plotting Grifter, which wasn't really a title that anyone was reading. Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. It's like, I guess he has powerful connections, so when you have powerful friends,
yeah,
you can get into powerful places.
It's like we said last week, he has pictures of Jim Lee and Dan Didio making out at the DC Christmas party.
Yeah.
He has.
I mean, that was must be some incriminating pictures because, you know, he was just promoted like that, you know? I can just see that meeting.
It's not, his books get canceled. It didn't sell well, and it wasn't even well-liked by critics and fans. I mean, there's really no reason for him to, you know, be doing this. It's like if either one of us, like, worked at a pizza delivery, we're pizza delivers, and then, you know, I ate half the pizza, and I lost the other half. Well, okay, you're now a manager of the restaurant. Good job.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of regaling one of your failed professions, isn't it?
I tried to be a pizza delivery man, but no one told me. I thought all pizza delivery men were paid in sex. That's what porn told me, that they were all paid in sex.
I mean, you know, you make a simple mistake.
It's not my fault. She asked for extra sausage. It's not my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I don't know. Like, I agree with you. Like, it seems like they're giving her an award for nothing. Like, oh, wow, you failed. Here's an even bigger salary than before.
Even bigger salary, more responsibilities. Because you've proved you can't handle simple ones.
Pretty much.
But, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's this week's edition of the Off-Panel Podcast. Join us next week when we dissect John.
And hopefully there'll be more people here. But hopefully not between you and I.
Yeah, I mean,
next week, Alex and I will just be making out.
Yeah, it's going to be 40 minutes of just inaudible noises, so, you know, be excited.
Enjoy.
Yeah,
if enjoy. You've ever wanted to know what it sounded like to hear tongue rubbing up against ball, you'll know.
Pretty much. All right, that was this week's episode. I was Alex Campbell,
I'm still Matt Johnson. I wasn't. Anybody, I'm still Matt Johnson. Unless, are you planning something?
Well, I was staging a coup.
Oh my God, why are you wearing Brian Michael Bendis' face?
I peel off the face. Oh.
Oh God, no!
See you next week.
Hey, are you still there?
Jesus!
Wyatt!
Jesus, you just came out of nowhere.
I'm sorry.
I had to freaking
take the damn dog out.
Is that code for something?
Yeah, I whacked off.